Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
Thank you, God, for this morning where we gather together. Father, thank you for each of these people who have said that this morning their walk with you matters, that they want to come together with other people to seek you. Father, there are so many individuals, so many families, so many stories, so many lives in this room right now, and the lives of so many that we touch. And God, we want to be people whose lives are shaped and blessed and instructed and guided by you, and we're seeking you. We pray, God, that you would help us in this time as we open the scriptures, as we think, as we talk, that you would show us something that can help our lives become a little more Christ-centered, that you can help us walk a little straighter in the truth, that you can help us to not just be blessed, but to become a blessing. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, part two of our series today, We Make It Happen. The series called You Make It Happen. And each week we're talking about something that's only going to happen in your life and in the life of our church if you do something. Okay? And I like that theme song that Jonathan has us singing every week where it says, we make it happen. We make it happen by his truth and power and grace. We make it happen. So in other words, we don't make it happen in ourselves. It's by God's truth. It's by God's grace. It's by God's power that we make it happen. But God wants you and me to be involved. So let's start in chapter 4. Look at some of the same verses and just kind of get our mindset going here again. And we're going to be thinking about maturity. How does maturity happen in your life and in the life of our church, okay? So I'm going to start with verse 7 of chapter 4, and then I'm going to skip to verse 11 and following. Let's just kind of use this as our framework as we get started today. He says, to each one of us, this is Paul writing to Christians in Ephesus, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Who's doing the giving? Who's doing the portioning? Christ. And there's an each, right? So there's an individual aspect of this, right? And there's an us. There's a corporate aspect of it, right? My life, each of us is part of the us, okay? Christ is gifting and apportioning what we need as individuals and as a church family. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip people for works of service. Who's doing the works of service? People. Equipped people, right? People who are being blessed and readied by their participation in church. So that the body of Christ may be built up. What's the goal? Building up the body. Okay? Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How much maturity is that? Is that enough to shoot for? The Apostle Paul, I just wish he'd raise his sights a little bit, don't you? Yeah, so that bar is way up there. Yeah. I want you to mature. How much? Not till you're like Jesus. How about that? Okay? And that's what we're shooting for. We're not just, it's not like a little life enhancement, behavioral modification program. This is becoming rooted in Christ so that we can grow into him, literally to become like him in our lives. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Anybody want to be a big baby that's easily deceived? Is that what you're going for? No. We want maturity, right? We won't be, he says that once we're becoming what God has in mind for us to be, we put away the childish things. We're no longer infants, easily deceived, easily distracted. Squirrel. No. You know, right? We become stable. We become mature. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the what? Mature body. Notice, I think many times, and I'm going to do it today, I'm going to be talking about maturity. And it's very easy when we come to church, we hear everything so personally, which we should, because church stuff happens one person at a time, okay? But notice here that maturity is not being spoken about as an individual program. You see that? Is we become not just mature individuals, we become what? A mature body. You see, the goal is not for a few people here to become mature. The goal is for all of us to be pursuing maturity so that as a body we mature. You know, lots of times we talk about like, oh, that person's really mature. You can tell they've been around the block a few times. You can tell that they've learned a lot of things. You can tell that they are wise, right? We talk about that in an individual sense, right? The same is true of churches. A church can be through a lot. A church can grow a lot. A church can become, you know, there are some churches that have a few mature people and a lot of babies. In fact, some churches, it seems like they have a program that to see how many babies they can get and just leave them that way. That's not the church we're after. I don't think, and the reason is it's not the church Jesus is after. He's after a church where the body, not just a couple of us, but all of us, even down to the children, are becoming more and more mature. It's a mature body growing in every respect into who? Christ, who is the head. Verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Who's doing the work? Each part. Who's doing the building? The church. You say, well, Dave, God does the building. No, God does the gracing. God does the truthing. God does the calling. God does the gifting. Who does the work? The body. With, by his truth, by his power, by his grace, we make it happen. The church doesn't happen without the church. This is true corporately. This is true individually. You will not mature in Christ without participating in that. And the church will not become the church God has in mind for it unless we each participate. Again, I will stress, it's not just about what we do. It's what we do in concert with God, right? It's not just what we think of. It's not our ideas. It's not us making it happen, and God, I hope you like what we're making happen over here. No, we can't make it happen without him. But the way he wants it to happen is through us. He gives us the grace. He gives us the truth. He gives us the direction so that we can make it happen. The body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Do you see that maturity here has a two-part aspect to it, right? There's the maturity that you bring to the table in your own life, right? I'm not going to wait for you. I'm not going to wait for you before I'm going to decide to start investing myself in maturing and responding to Christ, okay? But I won't ever have the experience, I won't ever have the church experience, and I won't grow as much as if you'll do your part too. The thing is, each of us as individuals, we make our response to Christ, and more we help each other. Sometimes when we talk about Christian discipleship or following Jesus, pictures like this are typically on devotional guides, because we talk about our walk with the Lord or climbing or you know, pursuing higher ground, you know. And many times I think when Christians see a picture like this, they think of, yeah, that's Jesus up there pulling me up. That's true. But do you know what else is true? That might be a Jesus follower pulling you up. Because as each part does its work, sometimes we help each other out, right? You know, that guy on top there, he may not be the leader. It might not be his idea of where we're going, but he is definitely part of helping the rest of the team make it. And here's the thing. Until we as individuals start seeing that our personal maturity is crucial, not just to our life, but to the life of the church, we will never be the church God has in mind for us to be. Did you get that? Too many of us come to church like consumers. We think, oh, I should probably go to church today. Why, you know, and in fact, if sometimes, I'm sure today there's somebody's like, yeah, you know, I can worship God out on the golf course. I'm sure there's a few people having a wonderful small group experience today. And I get it. You know, I'm not some legalist about this. But here's the thing is, too many of us, we wake up and we think, I wonder what church will be for me today. And don't get me wrong. I want you to think about church, and I want you to think there's something here for you. I think if we're doing church right, you should be thinking, man, I love my church. My church helps me, strengthens me. I'm finding friendship. I'm finding relationships. I'm finding my place to serve. I'm finding some accountability. All this pretty stuff we talked about last week. I think you should think, yes, church is great for me. But we'll really be maturing when we get up and say, I got to go to church today. I don't feel that great, but there's somebody there that needs me. You know, because if you don't show up, who is going to put the arm around the shoulder of that person out there by the donut table? Now, I know we just think of that donut table as just small talk. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I've gone out here and stood in that atrium, and I know that sometimes the most important thing that happened in somebody's life on a Sunday morning wasn't the sermon. It wasn't a worship song. I see somebody holding somebody's hand out there, being a friend, saying, hey, I remembered it's your birthday. Really? Or, hey, when are you guys moving? When are we going to? See, my point is this. Church isn't church. You haven't matured into what God has in mind for the church unless you think of going to church to give. See, many of us think of church like this. I'm going to take my little life of my car and I'm going to bring my car to the garage because it needs a tune-up. I'm just, you know, they're going to check. I just want to, here I come into church. Pull into the bay. Could you check the liquids and change the oil? And I'm going to get a little tune-up for the next week of life, right? And then you go and you get out of the car and you hand over the keys and then you head for the waiting room. But at church, we don't let you go to the waiting room. You know, we say, oh, yeah, great, yeah, thanks. Yeah, we'll work on that. Here's a wrench. What's this about? Well, I want you to just take the wheels off that one because we told that guy we'd rotate the tires. Why? Well, I didn't come here to do anything. I just came here to be blessed. Church, listen, church isn't a place you just come to get a little life enhancement. It's a place you come to enhance the lives of others. You don't just pull into the bay and hand over the keys. You pull into the bay and you say, well, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to change, work on that guy's transmission. Yeah? Well, do you know how to vacuum? We got a vacuum over here. Why don't you vacuum out that one? It's done. You see what I mean? We have to think about our part in church. Church isn't about what am I going to receive. It's also about where do I plug in. And it's really important we all think about this because some of us here today are only in receive mode. Because that's we're not in a position to give right now. We're in need. Okay? And so we need other people here who are at a place to say, well, I can help you with that. You see? This church will not become the church because I'm some sort of a pastor, or because our pastoral staff is some sort of a staff, or because we have some sort of elder body or something like this. This church will become what God wants it to be when everybody who's on the hike is ready to reach down and help somebody else. That's how it happens. Nick Mattson, a lot of you know Nick Mattson. He's our youth ministry intern. And that means that the staff and our church are frequently the guinea pigs for some school project. Okay? And so this past week, he had a questionnaire where he said, I need somebody, they told me in class, I got to have somebody who's been in ministry for over 10 years to fill out this questionnaire for me. Okay? And I said, okay, yeah, I can do that. That's great. So I looked through the questionnaire, and the last question was, what would be your advice to somebody like me who's getting ready to enter ministry? And I just put run, exclamation point. run. And by the way, if you read the scriptures, those of you familiar with the scriptures know that a lot of people in ministry, there's a great heritage of people called and they run. That's their first response. So, and I let him know I was kidding. I think don't run away. By the way, the other thing the scriptures teach us is it doesn't matter if you run. God will find you, okay? Doesn't matter if you cannot run, okay? But another question, the question that really got me on this survey, it was something like this. What is something that's frustrating or discouraging to you in ministry or something like that? What's been one of the most discouraging things to you? And I'll tell you, I didn't have to think for 10 seconds. It just came bam to me because it's something that I experience in my individual life, but it's definitely something that with, I don't know, let's see, when did I start doing ministry? 1980. Wow. 33 years. And here's something that I have seen way too much. And I'm not surprised because, like I said, I see it in me. I'm not looking down here. The thing that frustrates me most about the church is that so many of us are willing to show up just enough to get by. And that we're satisfied with just enough to make it. That we aren't really standing up and saying, I want all that God has for me. You know, we're not trying to climb the peak God has in mind for us. We're just trying to get over this little bump. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, I don't think we have maturing, attaining the fullness of Christ. That's not even on our radar. You know, we're just trying not to be as bad as yesterday. That's not God's plan. That's not the church. The church is about people saying, as individuals and as a body, we want to mature into what God has in mind for us. We are God's workmanship. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good things that God has planned in advance for us to do. You know, we weren't saved by grace in order to, you know, attend services. We were saved by grace to be something and to do something. And I guess what we're so satisfied with churchianity. And I'll tell you something. One of the hardest things for me about staying in ministry is so many people are satisfied with churchianity, and I is not one of them. I'm not one of them. And so it's really frustrating, Nick, and discouraging that so few people they know Jesus, they've heard the gospel, they say they believe in the power of God, but where do they want to go? Nowhere. Boy, oh boy, glad I came to church today. I realized last service, this just started sounding like I was browbeating people. Well, no. Listen, I'm not browbeating anybody. I'm trying to stir up some passion in you. Because it's not going to happen in you unless you're involved. I'm trying to stir up some passion in our church because it's not going to happen in us unless us is involved. How many of you would like to be part of a better church? We can be that church. By His power and truth and grace, we can be better for each other. We can be better in our own lives. We make it happen. And it starts with our desires. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see here, this maturity starts with the desire to mature. And one of the things that's keeping us from maturity is deceitful desires. In other words, being tricked into desiring the wrong things. What do you want? Do you want to grow? Do you want to mature in Christ? That means you're going to have to put off some childish things and put on some challenges. Put on a new attitude and get rid of desires that are distracting. Could you write down, if I had you sit down, do you think you could write a list of maybe 3, 4, 5 things that are distracting you from putting Jesus first? Or 7 or 8? You think you could? See, let me tell you something, folks. There's no virtue in being able to make a list unless you are committed to crossing things off that list. Who's going to make that happen? I'm not going to make that happen in your life, am I? You've got to wanna. You got to want it. You got to desire what's most important. I need to evaluate my desires, my priorities. If I want to mature in Christ, I need to have Christ-centered desires, not just have all these things I'm living for and then have a little Jesus thrown on here on the outside. No, He's got to get to the middle. Right? Otherwise, I'm going to find out that my ladder has been leaning on the wrong wall. I'm going to get what I want, and I'm going to find out it's not enough. If I want to mature, maturity in Christ has got to be my goal. It also happens with not just my desires, but my diet. What am I taking into my life? In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays for the Ephesians that out of God's glorious grace, out of His riches, He might strengthen us with power through the Spirit in our inner being so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. He's saying, I'm praying that God's work in your life will stir up the way you're living and the way you see the world. He says, verse 17, the second part, he says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power. He's saying, I'm praying that as your root system is drawing in, absorbing the nutrition of Christ and the truth and the grace of God, as you're absorbing that, that this will change the fruit you bear in your life. That you would grasp how wide, long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. That you would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In Colossians, he says something kind of similar to that. He said, just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. You see, he's saying, if you have a desire to grow in Christ, to be this person who is maturing, then you have to be serious about what you're absorbing and taking into your life. If you take in falsehood, that's what's going to rule your life. If you take in lies, if you take in superficiality, if whatever, That's what's going to be the fruit you produce. You want to produce maturity in Christ? You've got to absorb him. How would I do that? Not just by having a thought about it, right? I'm going to have to do some stuff. I'm going to have to think about where I'm putting my roots. I am what I eat. I am what I absorb. And if I need to be rooted in Christ, I got to listen to him, obey him, become like him. He must become the shaping influence of my life. What is shaping you? You know, a lot of people in church now, they talk about spiritual formation. I love that phrase. Let me tell you something, though, folks. Spiritual formation isn't something you have to seek. Everybody here is being spiritually formed. Everyone. The question is what is forming you spiritually? Apathy, cynicism, materialism? What's forming you? Something is. If you want Jesus to form you, you better absorb him. You better commit your, put the roots down deep into him. You are what you eat. And some of us have toxic appetites. We're not just rooted in the wrong things. Those wrong things make us want even more and more of them. You know, it's not just that we're eating junk food. We want more and more junk food. So our desire, our diet, our discipline. In Ephesians 6, he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Now, this passage of Scripture, anybody heard Ephesians 6 before? Right away, people see this verse, and they go, oh, yeah, I know this. This is about spiritual warfare. Do you know what spiritual warfare is? Life. Let me tell you something. Paul doesn't go from talking about the church in chapters 1 through 5 and get to chapter 6 and say, now let's just talk about spiritual warfare. It's about life and the church. And pastors, teachers, what we do a lot of times, we get to Ephesians 6 and we're so happy to get to that armor part that we want, let's talk about the helmet. Let's talk about the belt. Let's talk about the shield. Let's talk about the sword. Let's talk about verse 13, the part where it says, put it on. You know what? I'm sick to death of walking into people's spiritual houses and having them give me a tour of the armor. It's not about, is the armor available? Here's the deal. You don't have a soldier till somebody puts the armor on. Right? So, okay, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How many of you have a Bible? Anybody got a Bible? Okay. Now, what do you think is important? Having a Bible in your hand or having it in your heart? Right? What gets it from here to there? Who makes that happen? Right? God makes it happen when you cooperate with God. You have got to want to. So part of the spiritual discipline is just this simple idea of nothing is going to happen in my life toward a goal if I don't have any discipline toward it. I have to have a plan of action. When Paul talks to Timothy, he used another soldier illustration. He says, good soldiers don't get tangled in civilian affairs. They care about what their commanding officer wants. He says, good athletes that win the race, they actually know the rules of the game. They know the course. They know what it's about. Farmers that produce a crop, the first ones that are the hardworking farmers. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, you want to have a life? You want to become? You want to be an instrument of righteousness used by God? Guess what it looks like? An athlete in training. A soldier that puts aside civilian affairs and distractions, or a farmer that works hard. Do you want to know something I've noticed in my Christian life? Do you know the Christians who are growing and maturing? Do you know who they are? The ones that work at it. That Bible on your nightstand is not going to do anything until you do the hard work of thinking and reading and talking and applying. So it's our desire, our diet, some discipline. If you're going to run the race, let's do some training and prep for it, right? It's also our deeds. In Ephesians 5, he says, once you were darkness, now you're light. So live as children of the light. What should we do as children of the light? Live. What's living? Doing stuff. Live as children of the light. The fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Anybody familiar with fruitless deeds and darkness? Anybody familiar with those? Any of you experts in it? Come on, I can't be the only expert in it. Yeah. What am I supposed to have? If I want to mature, what should be my attitude toward fruitless deeds and darkness? I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not flirting with it. I'm not playing with it. I'm not rationalizing it. If I'm maturing, I'm not. If you just want a little churchianity, you can rationalize and flirt all you want. You see, Christianity, my friends, it's not just about getting your salvation card punched. It's about getting your salvation life lived. It's about doing. So we should be very careful how we live, making the most of every opportunity, not unwise, but wise. Why? The days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Let's mature. We have to think about what we're doing. We have to have desire. We have to think about our diet. We have to think about some discipline so we can do what God calls us to do. If I want to mature, I must be a doer. Not just a believer, a believer. Get that E out of there. Because so many of you, it's just, do you believe in Jesus? Well, what will you be and how will you live? There's plenty of believers. You know, James, a pretty salty preacher. I'm kind of giving you a James sermon today, okay? The Apostle James, he was a tart guy. He got up and he said, how many of you believe in Jesus? And after you get everybody to raise their hand, you go, oh, that's good. So do demons. Huh? I guess that gets you up to demon level. Well, let's talk about who's doing anything. You see, if I'm going to mature, I have to be a doer. Maturity does. You can do a lot of stuff and not be mature, but I'm telling you something. You cannot be mature and not do something. Mature people do. Mature people do what needs to be done, even if they don't feel like it. I had a friend one time. He was doing some good parenting, and his little boy, he had just asked his little boy, he said, son, I need you to stop playing now, and I need you to pick these things up and put them in that basket. I've asked you 3 times now. And the little boy walked up to his dad and with complete honesty said, but I don't want to. There's that desire thing, right? I don't want to. And the dad said this, son, are you a big boy or a little boy? And the kid is smart. He could see exactly how dad was setting him up. He was like, I want to say big boy, but that could have ramifications. I would like to be mature, but that goes with doing, right? He said, I'm a big boy, but I don't want to do it. And his dad said this, tune in, son, you know what the difference between big boys and little boys is? Big boys do what needs to be done, even when they don't feel like doing it. You know what mature Christians are? They're people who do things like go to church, even when they didn't feel like it. You know, you might think that I'm the pastor, you know, and I don't know what that feels like. Of course I know what it feels like every week, you know. Sometimes when it's snowy or rainy or whatever, or a nice day out, you know. I don't want to go to church. You have to. You're the pastor. No, I have to because I want to. I have a desire. I want to take in the right stuff. I want to exercise discipline because I want to be a doer. If I want to mature, I have to not just believe, I have to be and live. Everybody has a part. The body matures as each of us decide we're going to mature. When you are really on a path to getting the church you want, it's going to be when you say, my maturity, my desire, how I live matters not just for me. It matters for my church. My church needs people like me to grow. My church needs people like me to take in the right stuff. My church needs people like me to do things. My church needs people like me to have Christ-centered desires, because you will never find a church that is on track with the Lord until you find a church where there are individuals making that happen. You make it happen. I make it happen. We make it happen by His truth and power and grace. We can't do it without Him. But we must do it with Him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Help us to be people who want what you want. Help us to align our lives and our habits and our practices so that we are seizing every opportunity to grow spiritually. Help us to be disciplined in our life, to say no to the stuff that's distracting us, to say yes to the things that's calling us deeper and deeper into the way of Christ. Help us to be a church that does, because we are maturing in Jesus. In Christ we pray. Amen. Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.